The Old Testament lectionary reading for today is from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Hear the word of God. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will arouse your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet and march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them, and they shall devour and tread down the slingers. They shall drink their blood like wine and be full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will save them, for they are the flock of his people. For like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine on his land. For what goodness and beauty are his! Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the young women. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to hear and receive your word, and even more so, help us to be transformed by it. Amen. The New Testament scripture today, I'm going to go through it and add my own little side notes if you'll let me. It is from Matthew 21 verses 1 through 11. Let us listen again for the word of God. It's good to see you here, Jackie. Good to have you back. When they had come near Jerusalem and they had read Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately," I want you to notice if you go back and read Matthew in your free time this afternoon, y'all got a lot of free time. Notice that when Matthew writes, he always uses the word immediately. Everything's immediately, immediately, immediately. I find that interesting. So immediately, you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, and the reason Jesus says that is, so far in his ministry, he's kind of wanted to stay behind the scenes and not arouse too much attention. So he's kind of saying, shh, if anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. Immediately. This took place to fulfill what David read in the scripture this morning, what Zechariah had talked about through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. Humble, and watch this sentence, and mounted on a donkey and a colt. Has anyone else ever noticed this before? I haven't either. How's that for truth telling? I had never noticed. David knew it because he's been preaching for 30 years. I ran into his office and I was like, did you know that in the Matthew text, Jesus is supposed to ride on a donkey and a colt at the same time? Let's try to imagine that one, okay? Not in John, he doesn't do that. But he did this again to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah, because Zechariah was the one that said, he shall ride on a donkey and a colt. So Matthew is resounding that message from a former prophet. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, a sign of poverty, also a sign of reverence, throwing those cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and followed them were shouting, shout it with me, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was quaking in turmoil, asking, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, who's a big basketball fan in here? Not quite as many as that. Okay. I know, Doug, I'm sorry. You've already heard this all at 9:30. Okay. So y'all really watched the game this week. Who's Carolina fans? Who's glad Carolina won? Let me hear a good shout-out for Carolina. Okay. Let me be clear. God does not care who won the game. I did not stay up and watch the game. I was born in Chapel Hill, so I should have a little investment. I went to bed. David stayed up and watched the game. And I got up the next morning, and And I said, David, yeah, let's be clear. We want to grow the church, but not that way. My David. Thank you, Molly, for laughing. I said to my David, I was like, who won the game? And he said, Carolina won. I was like, oh, yay, that's great. And he said, but I got to tell you, both teams played a sloppy game. And I heard that the whole next day from everybody that watches basketball. I don't really know, but they all said that both Gonzaga and Chapel Hill, do you agree? They could have done better. They played a sloppy game. Those of you that love Carolina, they didn't do as well as expected. You know, you get down to the final four, you get down to the final two, and you think, well, these are the best two teams. They ought to really look good. But sometimes greatness doesn't come and look the way we think greatness is going to come or to look. Sometimes greatness comes in ways that surprise us. And that's exactly what happened in the scripture story this morning. It's Passover. It's a great festival. Kind of like, what's that thing you do? The campgrounds? It's like that. It happens every year, right? Y'all go for 2 weeks, and everybody knows what to do. They come. They hang out. It's a festival. They're in the streets. It's packed. It's loud. It's dirty. I bet it was hot. It's cramped. The parents are watching their kids. There's activity everywhere, and you just know there are food trucks saying, we sell the best matzo balls here. It's the happening place. But something different happens this year. Instead of just one parade, there are two parades, one from this side of the town and one from this side of town, one from Denver and one from Mooresville. So we're a little thrown off here. Everybody knows the first one's going to be the Roman Emperor coming in like our governor, our North Carolina governor. And he used to come this way through Caesia, and he used to come because he came for Passover. And when he came, he also knew that there could be a lot of riots. And unfortunately, we've known too much of riots lately. And with riots can come violence. So the governor comes, and what does he do? He's smart. He comes in his mightiest of chariots with all of his guards, all dressed in their armor, ready for violence, ready for war, and everyone can see and hear them coming. And there's a second parade that comes in on a donkey. And a colt, right? Nevertheless, here is Jesus coming in on a donkey, throwing these cloaks. Here is this person who comes as the poster boy for poverty. And he's coming in and really making a statement. Not something he had done very much in his ministry up to this point. He's kind of been all behind the scenes. And clearly he knows when he comes in at the same time as the Roman governor that he would be sending echoes bouncing off the walls, not only for Jerusalem, but for the scripture-soaked imaginations of people who had heard it before. People would be saying, which story do we belong to? Do we belong to this parade and this story? Or do we belong to this parade and this story? Which one is ours? And they knew to ask the question because these very scripture-soaked bystanders had heard it before from Zechariah. Remember what he said? Shout aloud, O Jerusalem, your king has come to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a... Y'all are paying attention. Then in verse 16, he goes on to say, what goodness and beauty this is. Grain shall make young men flourish and wine the young women. The grain is the bread that we eat at communion. The wine, of course, is the wine we drink at communion. And Zechariah is saying that Jesus will be the body and will be the blood, and he comes to give life to men and to women, and that Jesus will be our salvation. So these people are standing here. They'd heard this before. And then the Matthew text brings the big punch. The last line says, the city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? Who is this man riding on a donkey and a colt? He's not dressed like a king, but like a pauper. And this is what I love about God, that God shows up in the most unexpected places and the most unexpected ways. Look at Adam and Eve, the parents of all of us, and they messed it up. Gives us hope, right, parents? Moses, who said, oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I am slow in speech and tongue. I can't do it. God said, well, you're going to, so go ahead. And he did. Elijah, who got to hear the voice of God, if I heard the whisper of God, I don't know what I'd do, but Elijah ran back into the cave. And we know the story of Paul. Didn't even believe and then converted. I've said this, I preached this sermon a million times, this one, that God can use you, can use any of us in the most surprising places, and God makes things happen all around us, and God has done it here again today on a donkey. Not a Mercedes-Benz, but a 1976 Chevrolet Impala with the bumper falling off. And he comes in knowing, I don't know that I could do it, he comes in knowing he's going to be ridiculed and made fun of. He comes in knowing he'll be abandoned. He even comes in knowing that he will die. But he does it anyway. God does it once again to show us that I am not that Roman governor coming in with crowns and jewels, that king who is far removed that you can't ever get any access to, but I come to you in the car that you ride in your Honda or your Toyota. I come to you like everybody else. I am among you. And then goes one step further, and I am in you. I am among you, and I am in you. The kingdom created to reside in us. And we have a hard time with that, but Paul tells us all the time in Colossians, there is only Christ. He is in everything. He is everything so that God may be in all of us. But our overthinking, calculating minds have a really hard time with that, don't we? We have a really hard time with that. We get that Jesus is divine, but we think the divinity only lives in him, and there's no way, with all that I do to mess up, that it could live a little bit inside of me. We see ourselves only as human, and that's where we missed the point of this morning. To imagine that what is put together in Christ in his humanity and divinity can also be put together in us. It can also reside in us. And I don't know about you, but I miss it a lot of the time. We miss it. And someone asks us to do something in church, and we say, oh, Lord, like Moses, I'm not eloquent enough. I can't do that. I can't pray, or I can't teach the kids. I can't sing. And I can't sing, but I'm still doing it. You know I'm not helping y'all one bit when this is all over. But I'm still doing it. Because he did it. He did it. So we're called to share it, not hide it. It's just a prayer. There's only three things you got to do when you pray. Please. Thank you. And I love you. Jeff told me at 9:30, he said, I think you should get the congregation to repeat that. Because I like that line. So Jeff, this is for you. Let's say it together. Please, thank you, and I love you. That's Barbara Brown Taylor, another great theologian. She wrote a whole book on it if you want to read a whole book. That's all you got to do. Please, thank you, and I love you. You can pray that. You can do that. And then right when you start to get it, and right when you start to feel good, like, I'm singing in the choir, I got it. I'm getting it. I know God. I got some of my answers questioned. Some of my questions answered, and I'm figuring it out. And I think I can pray in front of people. And I know this God thing, and I'm feeling really close to God, and I got it all figured out. And bam, what happens this week? In the voice of a six-year-old, God will die. Right when you got it figured out. And bam. But we know that the sting of death will not stay forever. We know resurrection will come. We know that living waters will be among us. We know the story. And this is the cycle of our life. This is the cycle of our faith walk. That we start to have doubts and questions. And then comes death. And then comes resurrection and new life. We do this in our life over and over. Some of you are going through it right now. I sat with my sister yesterday who's gone through a horrible divorce. And I started to see the bud of resurrection, a little flower blooming of new life for her after death and heartache and pain. And she will go through it yet again later at some point. And so will I. And so will all of us. We do this over and over and over again. But the good news that we are reminded of this morning, we don't do it alone. Neither did Jesus. The Trinity goes with us. We still get to shout, Hosanna, the King is here. We see him there. We know it's true. We know it's the prophet. And we even know this week that we will be afraid. We will shudder and we will turn away from the sight of death. And Thursday night when this choir sings to you and they shout, crucify, crucify. Nancy and I looked over each other and said, I hope we can do it without crying. It's not going to be easy. And Good Friday will be even harder because God will die this week. And I'm going to stop there. That's my plea to you. Don't go ahead. Don't jump to Easter. Stay on the walk to Jerusalem. Come with us to eat the Last Supper with the disciples. Be with us on Monday, Thursday. Take the next hard walk to Good Friday. Because both Zechariah and Jesus warned us, we all have to live through a Holy Week, a Gethsemane. We all go through a Good Friday of sorts. It happens in our personal life, our vocational life, our public life, our private life. So Jesus says, I'm going to ride in on a donkey, and I invite you to walk along with me. Resurrection's coming later. We're not there right now. And if there is anything that the church needs and this world needs today, when we look at the image of Syria and we look at the images of our own country, if there's anything we need a little bit of, it's the ability to stay in the midst of the hard and dark times. Every single bit of it, even the ones we don't want to hear about, even the children who've died in the images we don't want to see. The world needs people who can walk this part of the journey of Holy Week and stay in the midst of it. And if for any reason this morning you might say, I can't do that, Tricia, I'm not strong enough, then remember the voice of your God saying to you, if you are weary, I am with you even unto the end. I am with you even unto the end. Thanks be to God. Amen.